himself several times as a servant, thank you, brother, as a servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I preached a sermon one time several years ago on the greatest title in the Bible. If I were to ask you tonight, what is the greatest title in this church, you'd probably say pastor. What is the greatest title in the school, you'd probably say principal. What's the greatest title in the bus ministry, you'd probably say that of the bus director. But the greatest title in the world that the Lord ever gave anybody was the title of servant. Amen? And some of us think we're above serving others, but man, I'm sure glad Jesus didn't. Amen?
Amen?
Let's take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and I'm going to read one verse of Scripture there. And I tell you what, before you get Ephesians, why don't you get 1 John? Right before Jude and Revelation, 1 John chapter number 1, and hold your finger there, and then go to Ephesians chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 1, and then Ephesians chapter number 2. Now listen, my loudmouth associate pastor is not here tonight. My quiet one is. In other words, I mean, how many of you know when Brother Freddie ain't here? If you were blind, would you know if Brother Freddie wasn't here? It doesn't matter how pitiful I preach, he sits right there and backs me up, amen? So Jason, open that big mouth of yours, amen? Amen. Here's, well, anyway, Tina said amen on that one, I don't know. And by the way, your sister came to hear me preach on Monday night. That was a blessing. Ephesians chapter number 2, and one verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to, where did I tell you? 1 John chapter number 1. But Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, we have this famous verse of Scripture, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Now, let me stop right there. He said, "For we are his workmanship." A lot of times we want to put forth the attitude, "Look what I've done." When in all essence, you've done absolutely nothing. Christ did it all. I mean, would you agree with that? Now, you may do some things in your life of your strength and your own effort. And sometimes people are successful, turning over a new leaf, stopping this or starting that. And sometimes they're successful. They have a little more willpower than others. But what's been done in your life, and I'm talking about your sins being forgiven. I'm talking about growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that. The Bible said, "For we are his workmanship." And I thought about this today. My wife and I, if we wound up in a new town somewhere, last year we went to where the Biltmore House is. I had to preach right down the street from that. Somebody say that. Asheville, North Carolina. And right outside the Biltmore House, they got like a little village that you can walk around in. It's kind of sort of like Helen or something like that, you know, just little shops. And anytime we see those Thomas Kincaid art galleries, y'all know what I'm talking about. We like to go in there and look. And my wife likes to tell me which one she wants, and I like to tell her, "Keep on dreaming." Amen. You'll get that about the time I get my new Skeeter bass boat, okay? We'll get them on the same day. But anyway, we went through there, and all the paintings were not by Thomas Kincaid. But I noticed one thing about every painting that hung in the place. They all had a signature on them. Every one of them. The Thomas Kincaid paintings had a Thomas Kincaid right on the bottom. He took his brush and he wrote his name, Thomas Kincaid. Then there was some other. There was one of all the Republican presidents that we just had a fit over. It was pretty neat. And it had the artist's name inscribed on it. Now, if we are his workmanship, I think there ought to be a signature on our life.
Amen.
Would you agree with that? I think there ought to be a signature on our life. There ought to be something that the world could look at us and say, "Hey, that's the hand of God right there. I know his work anywhere. Nobody could do anything like that with that fella's life except it been God." Amen? So I'm just wondering whose signature we've been bearing. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, say the next word with me, walk in them. And I want to talk just for a little bit tonight on walking the walk and talking the talk. There's a whole lot in the New Testament about witnessing, and we ought to do that. There's a whole lot in the New Testament about working, and we ought to do that. There's a whole lot about waiting and being willing. There's a whole lot of things in the Bible we ought to do. But as we thumb through the scriptures in the New Testament after Christ ascended, the Bible has an awful lot to say about our walk and about our talk. And I'm not talking about how we walk, you know, whether we walk like the brothers do, or you know what I mean? I'm talking, our walk is our way, our path of life. Our manner of living day in and day out. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we ought to focus on our walk. And sometimes we ought to focus on our talk. Amen. A lot of people are talking the talk but ain't walking the walk. Amen. 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 I don't know about you when it comes to that little matter of the tongue. James said in James, I think it's chapter number 1, he said to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Amen. My granddaddy said, and it's just as about Bible to me, he said, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, you'll listen twice as much as you talk. Amen. That's one of those lessons I'm still working on, amen. Said we ought to be slow to hear, or swift to hear and slow to speak. Then James said, maybe it's chapter 3, somewhere around in there, he said that the tongue is a fire set on, or a world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire set on a world of iniquity, something like that. So he has a lot to say about what we say. I wonder how many of you be honest and say I have a problem with my mouth. Yes. Amen. Me too. Here's my problem. When I ought to shut it, I open it. And when I ought to open it, I shut it. Can I get a witness? Amen. When you ought to speak up and say something for the Lord, I mean, boy, that's that thing in you, it causes your heart to do like that, you know, and you think, man, I know I ought to, 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 and you never do. But then there's times when you pop that mouth off. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, that thing's running 90 miles an hour. And as soon as you turn your back to walk away, you know in your heart, I should have kept my mouth shut. Amen. I've worked on that harder this past year than I ever have in my entire life. I'm around preachers all the time. And I'm going to be honest with you. Preachers love to get in the pulpit and beat the women up about their mouths. I'm going to tell you who's the worst crowd in America. It's a bunch of preachers. Amen? Not one time, and I've mentioned this over the last few months, but not one time, and I've kind of done a little survey and checked this thing out. Anytime I get around a group of preachers, I make a mental note of our topic of discussion. It is always some other preacher who's not there. Amen? And I'm trying to learn to keep my mouth shut, sit back and just listen. Hard to do. I told you about the old preacher. I was sitting in there's probably 12 preachers sitting around the table, and they were all, they weren't really crucifying. They were passing along prayer requests. Discussing this one preacher who had made a pretty bad mistake. Finally, Brother Earl Hughes, sitting at the end of the table, spoke up and he said, y'all ought to just pray for him. He's a good man. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. Everybody at that table knew that the old man of God had just rebuked us. Amen. There's times when we ought to open our mouth and we don't, and there's times when we ought to shut our mouth and we don't. Amen. Go to John chapter number 1. Now, there is a couple of statements in John chapter number 1. And let me just kind of preface the message this way. I read a story yesterday afternoon about a lady. I think she was in Chicago, Illinois. She worked in a large rescue mission. And in this rescue mission, she dealt with homeless people, unwed mothers, all those different kind of things. And they said that one day this little boy wandered into the mission. He was hungry and said he came in with a homemade crutch under one arm and a cane in the other hand, and said one of his feet was turned around totally backwards, facing the other way. And the little boy's body was just mangled. And she watched him hobble in, and she began to be burdened for him. And she asked the little boy what happened. And he told her that he had been hit by a truck, and that his wounds, because of improper medical treatment and no money, that his wounds never healed properly. Well, that just tore her up. She called a doctor friend of hers and asked if he would see the kid free of charge. And he said, sure, I will. So she took him to the doctor and they examined him. He had some other doctors come in and they said, we can fix this kid. There's no doubt we can fix this kid. And all the doctors agreed that they would do the surgery and do their part for free. She would just have to come up with the money to pay the hospital bills. So she started calling around. She called a banker. And that banker called another banker, and they got all the kid's medical bills covered. One day as a young teenager, the boy skipped into the rescue mission, hopping on one leg. Then he hopped on the other leg a little while and turned a cartwheel or two in the floor. He was showing the lady who had done so much to help him how everything turned out. It was wonderful. Years later, she was telling this story to a group of kids. And she asked the kids, said, does anybody have any idea where that young man is today or what he's doing today? One little kid raised his hand and said, I bet he's a preacher. She said, no. I bet he's working with homeless people just like you. No. I bet he's a doctor helping other crippled kids just like they helped him. She said, no. They said, well, where is he? She said, doing a life sentence in the penitentiary of the state of Illinois. And every kid in the classroom was so shocked. She said, here's the problem. She said, I was so concerned with teaching him how to walk, I never taught him where to walk. I was so concerned with teaching this little kid how to walk, how to get his little feet pointed in the right direction, but I got so lost in that I never showed him where to walk. Sometimes we get so lost in the working of the church, in the giving of the church, in the witnessing of the church, that we get lost and we get kind of in a fog and we forget to help you find the balance of the walk and the talk of your Christian life. Amen. In 1 John, we find two little phrases several times over. If we say. If we say. And then if we, period. If we say and if we, and I want to look at some of those tonight. Number one, we ought to talk as a Christian ought to talk. Amen. We ought to talk as a Christian ought to talk. Here's what they said about Simon Peter at the fire. They said, thy speech betrayeth thee. Amen. Your manner of conversation has given you up. I imagine that it was his terminology. I went to the dentist today. I haven't been in a very, very, very long time. Some of y'all remember the last time I went, I crying like a baby. I walked across the street over and got that woman pull my tooth. And I ain't been since, because every time I go, they hurt me. And I went today, and the dental assistant came in, and I forget what all she was saying, but she was talking about this and talking about that, and she asked me how old I was, and I said 44. She said, my goodness. She said, I would have never took you for a day over 30. I said, hallelujah. A few minutes later, she said something about her grandkid. I said, I got a grandkid. She said, you got a grandkid? I said, yes. She said, I would have never figured you old enough to have a grandkid. I said, glory to God. She said, aren't they wonderful? I said, amen. She said, where do you go to church? I said none of those things intentionally. But they have just become a part of my vocabulary. You ever catch yourself doing that in public on the job or somewhere? You shake somebody's hand and say, hey, brother, good to see you. They think you're a biker, amen. Our speech ought to betray us. Yes, yes, Amen. Yes, now, our little old tongues can do one of two things. They can build our character, not within us, but to others.
Amen.
Or they can destroy our character in the eyes of others. Amen. As a young Christian, even as a young preacher, I've let my tongue do a whole lot of damage.
Yes, sir.
Not to you, but to me.
Yes.
Every so often I run into people who used to work with Brother Charles Dyer. He probably worked in every subdivision in Paulden County. All those years he was laid off, he worked for Joey Tidwell. And you know what? He was Brother Joey's cleanup guy. He wasn't a big shot, he wasn't the boss. He just cleaned up them little construction sites and he worked for Joey every day. And I run into people all the time that say, my little brother John, he used to do the sheetrock in them houses, and he remembered Brother Charles from those jobs. And everybody, every time I meet somebody that has met Brother Charles, not in a church setting, but out in the work setting where everybody's cussing and telling filthy jokes and acting a fool, everybody says the same thing. I never heard one bad thing come out of that guy's mouth. They, every one, say the same thing. I never heard one bad thing come out of that guy's mouth. I wonder how many people say that about us. I mean, just ask yourself that question. Brother, I don't want to know what they'd say about me. Amen. But I want to work on that. Amen. I'd like for when all my hair's white like his is, I'd like for that to be my testimony. I'd like for some young guy that meets me out somewhere fishing or hunting or doing whatever, I'd like for somebody to say, yeah, I met that guy. I ain't never heard nothing bad come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We ought to work on that. Now in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 6, watch this. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say, there's a lot of Christians who are Christians by statement alone. You ever run into that crowd? They want to tell you how holy they are. I get sick of running into that bunch. You meet these guys from some of these other churches and from some of these other camps or whatever you want to call it, and you start talking about church. Well, let me ask you something. Do ladies in your church wear pants? Well, you know, you're stinking business, man. You know what a guy asked me one time, Brother Charles? This is God's honest truth. I won't tell you where I was. I wasn't in the state, but I was in a famous church. Didn't know a soul, and I wanted to meet some of the guys. So I introduced myself to the bus director. I'm always drawn to the people with the buses because I've got some common ground. We can talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm wanting to pick this guy's brain about their bus ministry. That's all I'm interested in. I introduced myself. Where's your church? I said, it's in Dallas, Georgia. Just we off on a little old side road, and God's just blessing, and the Holy Ghost is moving, and we running three or four buses and picking up kids, and I was wanting to ask you some questions. He said, well, amen, brother. He said, I'll help you any way I can. He said, let me ask you something. I said, all right. He says, women in your church wear breeches? I thought, and that affects the bus ministry. How? I appreciate when they don't. Well, watch it get quiet there. I appreciate it when they don't. But I'd rather have you here in a pair of breeches than sitting on a bar stool in a pair. Talk to me. I don't get on you ladies about wearing your pants to church. Now, I will when you start holding position in this church. You working in a Sunday school class, put you a skirt on. You going to sing special music, put you a skirt on. We all right? Just nod your head. We'll be okay. But we like to give all this lip service and tell everybody what we are. But while we're telling everybody what we are, we're showing them with our walk what we're not. Amen. And then do you know what they call us? It never fails. There's a famous word that they use. Anybody know it? You got it. Hypocrite. I don't want to go down to that church. Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I always tell them the same thing. Come on, one more won't make a difference. Amen.
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 Every one of us are or have been in one way or the other. Amen. That flesh likes to brag on what it can do.
Amen.
Amen. I was with a famous preacher last year. Hit it off. I was so excited about getting to preach with him, scared to death. We were riding in the car. The whole time he was preaching, he was talking about how wicked TVs was and how he beat them up with a sledgehammer on the platform in church. And we're on the way back to the hotel and we got talking. I said, have you seen that movie? Ain't never been a preacher wanting to jump out of car so fast.
Yeah,
but boy, I was quick. I said, facing the giants. He said, I don't watch television. I let that bother me. All the way till I got back to my hotel room, got my remote. Amen. You got convictions about watching TV, don't watch it. But don't make some other Christian feel like a lesser Christian because they don't do what you do or they do what you don't do. We okay?
Amen.
We ought to watch what we say. I don't care what God's done in your life, how much scripture you've learned to quote, how clean your life is since you got saved. We ought not to make others with our speech feel less than what we are. We ought not to do it. Mm-hmm. Old Brother Larry Brown down there in North Augusta. I love him. Probably one of the most, and I don't love him because he's a great preacher. World's full of them. There's great preachers everywhere you go. But you don't meet many people preachers. Brother Larry meets a drunkard or a dope addict or a prostitute just like he does a famous evangelist. And he treats them exactly the same. You get to where you can do that, you've grown a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. In other words, this has got to match this.
Yes.
Amen.
That's easy to preach. But it's a whole lot harder to live. You ever heard the old saying, practice what you preach? I remember when I was a kid growing up and my mama smoked cigarettes like a freight train. She don't now. She smokes a corncob pipe, amen? She said she had to buy that bad eye, so she went out and bought a bag of weed, amen? No, she didn't. But she smoked. And I'll never forget getting caught slipping around smoking. You know what I got? You doggone right. She took that belt and said, boy, I'm gonna. You ever do that? I'm gonna kick. You know where I got it? That's kind of do as I say and not as I do kind of thing. And parents, we're all guilty of that. Every one of us. But as Christians, we're also guilty of that. Amen. We ought to work on getting this to match up with this. In other words, when somebody examines our life, whether it's a family member, a co-worker, whatever the case, hey man, I'm telling you, the people who know you the best are the people you work with and the people you live with. They know you better than anybody. Amen. I see one thing here at church, but I bet you I'll go to your job and find out something else. If I came up on your job tomorrow, some of y'all get nervous. Oh. What are they going to tell him? I can get nervous. Some of y'all drove up on some places I used to work. Amen. It's one thing to put it on when we come in here. But it's something else to live it when we go out there. Amen. We ought to watch what we say concerning the practice of our steps. You may not verbally say you're a Christian, but every time your car's in this parking lot, it says you are. Every time you pull out of your driveway on Sunday morning at 9:30 headed towards Sunday school, your neighbors don't think you're going golfing. They know where you're headed. Amen. Concerning the practice of our steps, let's watch what we say. Amen. Concerning the principle of our sin, look at verse number 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You ever got around a Christian who really thought they was perfect? I mean, they really did. So stinking highfalutin. There's a certain crowd, and I love them. But I'm scared to be around them. I really am. Why, preacher? Because I don't measure up. Amen. I'm not near as good a Christian as they say they are. We ought not spend our time telling everybody what we don't do. You know what that's going to do? Make people hate you.
Yes, sir.
Not stand to be around you.
Yes, sir.
Because you think you all that in a sack of chips and Jesus couldn't make it without you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, I get around, I preach with them. I've been with some of this crowd. And you can call them legalists, you can call them whatever, but there's a balance, man. When we're talking to people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
One preacher looked at me and another preacher said, y'all ought to get right with God. All you ever talk about is deer hunting. He is serious as a heart attack. I said, we ain't talking to you. Something we enjoy. Something we have in common. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Listen. Concerning the principle of our sin, what we need to realize when we're on our job is we're just as wicked as the man standing on the assembly line beside us. We're just as wicked as the man on the job we know is cheating on his wife. You say, well, I'm not an adulterer. No, maybe not. I don't mean you're not a sinner.
Amen.
Yes, yeah, but I'm glorified and sanctified, and you're a glorified, sanctified sinner. That's what you are.
Amen.
Amen. Concerning the practice of our steps, we ought to watch what we say. And the principle of our sin, we ought to watch what we say. Then verse number 10, I'll move on. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Now whose testimony we heard? The Lord's. Concerning the practice of our sin, we ought to watch what we say. I thought about this real hard today, and I may not even finish this message tonight. I thought about this real hard today. I think just in looking over my Christian life, what, honey, 23 years now, 24 years we've been saved? Somewhere in that neighborhood, 24, I think. I've probably sinned twice as much with my mouth as I have with my hand. Probably twice as much. And you know what I want to do? Well, I ain't never done this, and I ain't never done that, and I ain't never done this, and I ain't never done that. I ain't never done this, and I ain't never done that. But if I've talked in such a way that would make one lost sinner not want to be around the people of God and the things of God, I've done a world of hurt. Amen? So we are to talk as Christians ought to talk. I thought about all the scriptures, and Lord, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but let's watch our mouths. Amen. Not just on the job. Watch it around here.
Yes. Well, I don't agree with Brother so-and-so.
So? Amen. I don't either. Yeah.
Well, Pastor, I disagree with you on that.
I disagree with you on stuff, too. I just don't tell you about it. Let's just keep our mouths shut. Yeah.
Amen. I don't like Brother Robbie's suit.
I don't either. Don't tell him. Tabitha don't either. I do like Brother Robbie's suit. I have something to talk about. Amen. Somebody to poke at while I'm preaching. That's why he does it. Let's watch it. We ought to be a pretty tight-knit group.
Yes, sir.
Ought not anybody be able to call any of us and say something about another one of us. Without us taking offense. Don't you call him. Tell me something about Jason. I got in a little old situation. I'm probably fixing to say too much and practice what I preach. But I got in a situation the other day. And the lady said, "What do you know about that Jason ship?" I said, "Probably more than I need to." She said, "Well, I'll tell you what I know." I said, "Don't waste your time." I knew where she was going. I knew exactly where she was going. She said, well, I said, no. I said, "Let me tell you what I know."
Amen.
I said, "Here's what I know." I said, "There's a whole bunch of other I'm trying to forget, but here's what I know."
Yeah.
I know he walked down the aisle of my church with a broken heart.
Yeah.
I saw the wet spots on the carpet where he wept before God and the snot dripping out of his nose when he begged God to forgive him and not to kill him for his sin. And he surrendered his life to God and he's preaching the gospel and he sits in my class week after week and he lets me criticize him and tell him you ought to do it this way and you ought to do it this way. I said, "That's what I know about Jason Shipp." You know what she said? "Oh." You say, "You single him out a lot." I can.
Yes.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
We ought to watch what we say very carefully. My grandmother used to say this, and we all know it. If you can't say nothing good, you know how hard that is? Man, these times I'm just dying to say something bad. Ain't y'all, don't y'all? I mean, am I weird or is that normal? Have you ever had it just get in you like a pressure cooker? Oh, yeah. I'm a whole lot more prone to tell you something bad than I am to tell you something good. That's human nature. You don't believe it? Watch the news when you get home tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You'd rather tell a lie than the truth, too. We ought to talk as Christians ought to talk. Let's work on that. I'm not beating you up tonight. I'm trying to help you. But we ought to walk as a Christian ought to walk. Amen. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7. He said, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Cleanses us from all sin. You know what we ought to walk like? we ought to walk like a clean bunch of people.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all all right? We ought to walk like a clean bunch of people, not a bunch of self-righteous people. You know, I've never heard anybody say that about Brother Charles. Brother Charles don't smoke. He don't chew. He don't drink. I've never heard him cuss. Janice has. I have. I never have. Never have heard a bad word come out of his mouth. Never have. And you know what? I ain't never heard anybody say, yeah, I know what Charles Dyer. He's kind of self-righteous, ain't he? Never have heard that. Not one time. But I know other people who profess to be what he is, and I've heard other people say, that guy thinks he's better than everybody. I ain't never heard nobody say, it's his spirit. But it's not just his spirit, it's his walk. He ain't running around telling everybody how good he is. He's just living his life pleasing unto God. He ain't worrying about impressing his co-workers. He ain't worrying about impressing his pastor. He ain't worrying about impressing you. He's worrying about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he's walking his walk and he's talking his talk, trying his best to please the Lord, the world's walking along and looking on and saying, hey, man, there's something to that guy right there. Amen. You ever heard anybody say this about another Christian? That guy's real. Man, what a compliment. What a compliment. I took a kid fishing. Some of y'all will remember him. His name was Jason Hampson. Y'all remember Jason Hampson? I led him to the Lord. He was about 7 foot tall, teenager. Brother Mike, you remember him? Went to college to play basketball. Big old tall kid. And I found out he loved to bass fish. And I invited him, took him out. We went and fished a night tournament, 2 hours of daylight and 2 hours of dark. Helped him put a little money in his pocket. He can catch a fish, and I give him half the money. He said, that ain't right. I said, yeah, it is. You was with me. Amen. We was fishing that night about halfway through the little old deal. That little boy looked at me, you know what he said? He said, man, you're normal. I'll never forget that. I'm standing on front of that boat, and I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death to go fishing with you. I don't know if he thought I'd wear a robe and pray over every cast I made. You know when he told me that? I missed a fish. Good fish come off right at the boat. I didn't cuss. But I sure beat the fool out of the side of that boat. He said, man, you're normal. Well, amen. It's okay to be human. It's okay to be human. But we ought to walk like clean people. Yeah. Brother Michael, we worked together for years, and he knows too much about me. But a guy, when I first went to work for the Board of Education, me and another guy started at the same time, Brother William Couch. I guess he's still there. He probably will be till he dies. And old Brother William, we was working together. And I'm not a carpenter. Just let me remind you, I'm not a carpenter. I can build something, but you, Brother Allen, you don't want to trim it out. Amen. I built a doghouse one time. A dog wouldn't go in it. I swear, that dog stood there in the yard and went. I said, shut up, man, the plumbing works. Go on. I'm not a carpenter. So the first thing they had us doing was building handicap ramps on all them trailers. Every other swing, they handed me, I think it was a 32-ounce E-swing hammer with waffle marks on it. My thumb looked just like the head of it. And he was good, man. He'd take them nails, Brother Allen, he'd go, whoop, pow. I mean, like a nail gun. 16-pin nail, whoop, pow, whoop, pow, whoop, pow. Oh, shoot, man, I can do that. Whoop, wah. And I know it's probably ain't a good word, but I'd holler, dang. And you know what he called that? Preacher cussing. You remember that? It's, oh, y'all look out, the preacher's cussing. I mean, it didn't even hurt to stick it in your mouth and suck on it. I mean, boy, it was bad. We ought to walk as clean people. There's some areas in my life I need to work on. My walk, I do a whole lot of talking. I stand up in this pulpit usually 3 times a week. If I'm not here doing it, I'm somewhere else doing it. Preach all over the country, that's a whole lot of talking. And the Holy Ghost gripped my heart and said, that calls for a whole lot of walking. Do you know how tough it'd be to live up to everything I tell you? You say, well, you do, don't you, preacher? I try. Sometimes as hard as I try, I fail. But we ought to walk as cleansed people. Clean. Now are you clean, the Lord said through the word which I have spoken unto you. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. What time is it? I got to quit. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. He said, you know this verse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ought to walk as cleansed people. But listen, we ought to walk as confessed people.
Amen.
It's simple. I won't stay here but a second. I'll give you a couple more verses of Scripture and we'll go to the house. Confessed people. Were you confessed up before you come in here tonight? Or are you waiting on the altar call? Have you ever thought? This is what struck me funny one day. Brother Charles, I get right before the service.
Amen.
Y'all wait till it's over.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why I sit up there and have a spell and have a fit and have a good time?
Yeah, that's good preaching, brother.
Because I got it right before I come in here. I didn't sit there under the weight of my sin the whole service, feeling like a low-down, dirty, rotten dog. I got it under the blood. Why? Because I got to preach.
Yeah.
He said, well, of course, you got to preach. You got to make sure everything's right. You got to listen.
Amen.
Well, I just didn't get anything out of that. I wonder why.
Yes, sir.
With this old cold I've had, I mean, brother, it's been over a month, hasn't it? I mean, it's been awful. Seriously.
Amen.
Some of the stuff I coughed up, it's more powerful than super glue, brother. That's bad, ain't it? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Anyway, I didn't say what it was, Mama. Don't even start. But something's been wrong with my ears. I ain't never had ear problems since I was a little bitty kid. And my wife will say, I said, huh? Sound like Charlie Brown school teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I honestly can't hear. I mean, seriously, just can't hear. Brother Charles was preaching the other Sunday night when I felt so bad. You sounded awful. I turned around to my wife. I said, this sound system stinks. She said, it ain't the sound system. I said, you sure that don't sound bad? I said, it sounds like the speaker's busted. She said, your head. A lot of times it ain't what's being said, it's what we're hearing. We ought to be a cleansed people. We ought to walk as cleansed people, but we ought to walk as confessed people. Now, I mean, we get burdened down with the cares of life. I know, bills and no job and all that, but we ought not be burdened down with the sin that we're having to carry. Why? Because we can confess our sin.
Amen.
We can take it to God and get it right. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2. Y'all got time for a couple more? What time is it? Almost 8:30. I know some of y'all itching to get out of here. Can you say DVR? 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. Now watch this. Hereby we do know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. How do I know if I'm a good Christian? Well, are you doing what the Lord said to do?
Amen.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? We ought to walk as cleansed people. We ought to walk as confessed people. But we ought to walk as commandment people.
Amen.
In other words, I'm just doing.
Well, I don't understand why I got to do it.
He didn't ask you to understand. Years ago, a lady was on vacation. She visited London, England. And there was a set of stairs leading up to the side, not the front, but the side of the palace. And at the foot of those stairs was an old soldier. You know how they wear those hats with a little chin strap and all that? They stand there and they don't move, and you can make fake faces at them, try to spook them, and they, you know, that's their job. They're supposed to be like a statue. She waited till he got off. She watched him walk away, took his hat off. She said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." He was an older gentleman. She said, "I've noticed there are many, many entrances to this castle. And they post those big guards out there at the front." She said, "But this is the only other entrance I see guarded, is this set of stairs right here." She said, "How long have you been guarding those stairs?" He said, "I think he said next month will be 18 years. 18 years guarding that set of steps." She said, "Why this set of steps?" He said, "Be honest with you, ma'am, I don't know." Got his curiosity up. So he went and asked somebody who was over him, "Why am I guarding these set of steps?" They said, "I don't know." They investigated it further. And some 20-something years ago, they had done some repainting. And they painted that staircase. And they set a soldier in front of the staircase to keep anybody from walking up the steps in the wet paint. For 20 years. For 20 years. Long drying paint. He didn't know why he's standing there. He's doing what he's told. Amen. There's some things in this Bible I don't understand, but I believe it. I can't really wrap my mind around it. There's other things in the Bible I think, well, that don't make good sense. Must have to him. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, just do what the Lord said to do. Yes. He said, "Well, I don't cuss and I don't be love one another."
Amen.
Boy, you run most Baptists down the road with that one right there.
"Oh, we don't go to movies, and we don't do this, and we don't wear this, and we cut our hair like this." And do you love each other?
Amen.
Who cares if you got all that other stuff down if you don't love each other, man? You shot yourself in the spiritual foot right off the bat. Amen? Well, we ought to walk as commandment people. Chapter 4 and verse number 12. You said we're going through the whole book of 1 John? Not quite. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 12. I'm just going to give you these verses right quick. 1 John chapter 4. And I wrote down the wrong verse of scripture. Let me see if it's verse number 2. Well, well. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute where it was at. Oh, I'm looking on the wrong side of the page. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another. God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. We ought to walk as cleansed people. We ought to walk as confessed people. We ought to walk as commandment people. And we ought to walk as compassionate people. Amen. It's easy to say we care about others. Saying it and doing it's two different things. When the Lord saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Not pity, compassion. That meant he didn't just feel sorry for them, he cared. Because they were scattered abroad, he said, as sheep having no shepherd. We ought to be the most compassionate people, especially this church right here.
Amen. Amen.
As sad as it is, I know most of your past. We were sitting at the funeral home the other night. Me and Brother Warren. Sister Jennifer's grandmother was laying in state. This old fellow walked in, old fellow, about Brother Warren's age. He come over and shook his hand. He said, "Warren English, man, I ain't seen you." And Warren said, "I'm a deacon at Happy Valley Bay." I said, "Yeah, that's a friend from his past, amen. He's sitting here with a preacher. I want to let you know right quick." I ain't what I used to be. It's the good of friends I got in this world. I'm glad he's got a past. It's what causes us to put up with each other. Let's not get so highfalutin and so holy that we can't have compassion on somebody who walks through those doors who's right where you used to be. You ever thought about this? There was a day in your life when the average Baptist church would not have wanted you sitting in their building. We all right? I had one young preacher tell me one time, he said, "Well, it ain't right for the world to come to church." I said, what? Another man told me one time, I had a man in the church, he's smoking dope. Pretty regular. I'm talking about habit, you know. Somebody might smoke a pack of Marlboros a day. He smoked a pack of weed a day. You know, he did. Now, I knew it. I talked with him about it. I helped him pray about it. A man come to my church and said, "You know so-and-so smokes pot?" I said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "Well, I'm going to stand up in conference. We're going to turn him out of church." I said, "Brother, you open your mouth. If I can't have you whooped, if I can't whoop you, I'll have you whooped." "It ain't right him be a member of his church out there smoking dope and then come sit in the pew." I said, "Man, he ain't teaching the class, he ain't leading the choir, he ain't doing no preaching, he's just sitting on the back row." Yeah. If there's any place in this world that man ought to be, it's here. Yeah. If there's any place in America he can get help, it's here. Amen. We okay tonight? Amen. Some of y'all feeling better about your dope smoking, ain't you? I'm listening for amen. I'm not even looking up. I didn't say it was right, but we ought to be compassionate. Yes. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Let me give you these right. I'm almost done. Honest. You said that a while ago. I know. 1 John chapter number, what did I say, 5? Yeah. We almost at the end of it. Verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his sons. We ought to be conversant people. We ought to have a witness. I used to tell our teenagers all the time, your testimony is the most important thing you have. Look at verse 14. I'm just going to leave that and we'll jump on and be done. The Bible said in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We ought to walk as cleansed people, confessed people. We ought to walk as commandment people. We ought to walk as compassionate people, conversant people. But we ought to walk as confident people. Confident people. Are you confident in the Lord? I know not confident in ourselves. Paul said, I know that within me dwells no good thing. That is in my flesh, he said. But I got confidence in him. So, preacher, you got areas where you're struggling. Rubbing that ain't going to make it. I look at her,
Vanessa just rubbing Stephanie's belly. Yeah, I got areas where I struggle. But I've seen God do enough in my life that I'm confident He can take care of those struggling areas too. And we can overcome them one by one by one by one by one. Amen. Thank you for being in church tonight. I love you guys. We're going to grab these prayer sheets. Brother Jason, how about you and Brother Ryan? As folks come down to the altar tonight. Listen, y'all do remember Friday, little Cody Powell's got to have surgery. Little Sarah, I don't know.